know, when we come together as God's church. The Spirit must be in the middle of the situation. I think God is in the middle of our church.
Amen.
I think the prayers that we do make a difference.
Yes.
You know, when we gather to hear the sermon, we're listening to the Word of God. And it's a fantastic Word God has given to us. Tonight we're in John chapter 1. And God has spoke through my heart this week as I studied this about the different ways in which the Lord saves people. And everybody is saved by faith in Christ, but not everybody is saved exactly the same way.
Yes.
You know, I know I was saved in North Carolina in a little country church at the end of a teaching on the tribulation and the rapture. And I know it was a youth meeting. That was where I was saved, and God touched my heart. I know some are saved in vacation Bible school because they touched the Lord. Everybody's got a different testimony. We're going to see that tonight. If you would, we're going to start out. We've got a lengthy section, John chapter 1, verses 39 through 51, but you'll see the reason for it. If you would stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. I realize some of you are not able. But in John 1, 39 through 51, it will read responsibly. He saith unto them,
come and see.
They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him,
we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ.
And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said,
thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation of stone.
The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him,
follow me.
Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him,
we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him,
come and see.
Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him,
before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.
Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi,
thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.
Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him,
verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
May God bless the reading of His Word. Oh, you may be seated. Now, salvation is a mystery of God. Some people hear the gospel, they never come. Some people harden themselves against the gospel, and they never will hear it. There's some that sit in church their entire life and really never know who Jesus is. They hear the words, they learn the stuff, but they just never really understand. Salvation is something that God has to do to you. It's not something the preacher can do to you. It's not something you can do to yourself. You do have to make a decision whenever salvation is preached. But unless God opens up your heart and mind, you'll never be saved. He has to touch you. Now, every day God gives us life. And He gives us one more day of life for one reason. Because He wants those who are not saved to be saved. And He wants those who are saved to tell somebody else about Jesus. Because I tell you certainly, there is a hell. Hell has not been written out of the Bible. It's not cut out of the Bible. Jesus never ascended hell. Hell was in the Old Testament. Hell is in the New Testament. Jesus spoke of hell and He said it's a terrible place. So, beloved, can I tell you this? People need Jesus.
Amen.
They need Jesus. God is the one who wants everyone to be saved. The Bible says it's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody saved. But some people will not be saved. You know, as we read this text today, we saw the first five people who were saved under the ministry of Jesus Christ. And each one of those individuals had a different story to tell about salvation. Each one of them were saved by meeting Jesus. They came to Jesus. And once they were saved, they began to follow Jesus. Someone who is saved will follow Jesus. Someone who is not saved will not follow Jesus. It's quite that simple. That's just the way it is. People may put a spin on that and say, oh, well, if you get saved, you can just go through life any way you want to. Can I tell you this? You'll see that that is not the case in every one of these individuals. You know, the first two people that were saved, that were seeking Jesus, came to Jesus in the church. And they were in the first, and I want y'all to know, they were in a Baptist church. Isn't that some good news? The first two saved was in a Baptist. You say, preacher, I think you've lost your mind. I have not. God raised up a man by the name of John the Baptist. And I was joking a little bit because we don't know that's exactly where the Baptists come from. But I do know this. John baptized by immersion, and he was proud to do so. John was a man who was sent of God. The people asked him, the Pharisees came to him one day. They said, "What? By what authority are you doing these things?" He said, "I'm the one that Isaiah spoke about. I'm the one that Isaiah sent out who said, I am the voice of him who is crying in the wilderness." He said, "I was sent to precede the Messiah." John had a simple message. And every Baptist church and every Methodist church and every Church of Christ and every Pentecostal church and every Lutheran church and every Episcopal church and every Catholic church and every non-denominational church, which is a denomination, every single church, even the ones I have not named, should be preaching Jesus. Amen. John preached Jesus. Amen. Jesus told him, he said, "I'm here as the voice of the Lord." He said, "I'm the one who is preceding the Messiah." He said, "That's what I'm doing." And he said, "When Messiah comes, I am not fit to tie his shoes." I want y'all to know, none of us were fit to tie the Messiah's shoes. It would have been an honor if he would just let me put them on his feet. Can I tell you that? Amen. What a Savior we have. One day, John was preaching, and he looked up, and he said, "Behold, the one I told you about. Here is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world." He didn't say, "There's two or three of them standing up there. There's old Muhammad standing there. And there's old Joseph Smith. And look over there, there's David Buffalo. He'll save you too." He didn't say that. He said, "I want you to see there's just one. It's the Lamb of God, the one that God has sent." Oh, beloved, can I tell you something? That makes the hair on the back of my neck rise up. He's the one. He's the only one. He's the one that God sent. Well, there were two disciples standing with him that day. The Bible says they saw Jesus come down to John. And they saw Jesus put John in the water. The Bible tells us that the next day, that those, look there in verse 34 and 35 of your Bible. John the Baptist said, "I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He said, "This is the one." Again, the next day after John stood, he's still in that First Baptist Church of the first of all times. He stands and he says, look to me. And he said he stood and two of his disciples stood with him. They were faithful. You know, I've had people tell me, they said, "Brother David, I've never seen Jesus. Jesus don't speak to me. He don't talk to me." Can I tell you something? Jesus will speak to you and talk to you if you do what you're supposed to do. If you'll do what God tells you to do and go out of your way and get outside of your comfort zone, God will speak to you. I've seen the devil rise up and I've seen the devil fall. He's come after me many a times. I've got pitchfork marks in my backside where he's tried to get me. But I want you to know something. The devil has always been defeated by Jesus. When I've trusted Jesus, he's beat him down. Those two disciples standing there with John that day, they saw Jesus come. John stood when he saw Jesus. And he said, two of his disciples, and look at this in verse 36. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." In verse number 37, the two disciples heard him speak. They heard what John had to say. If you won't listen to the preacher, you won't hear the words. But they heard him say, "Look at Jesus. That's Jesus right there. You need to see Jesus." And you know what them disciples did that day? They left the church service. And they followed Jesus. I wish y'all would get up and leave the church service one day and just follow Jesus.
Amen.
I really do. I wouldn't be offended in the slightest bit. I'll follow you too. Amen. They got up and they followed Jesus. It says in verse 38, Jesus turned. He saw them following. And he saith unto them, what do you seek? What are you looking for? The disciples looked at him and they said, we're looking for a big bank account. We want a lot of money in the bank. We want to live forever right now on this earth. That's what we want, Jesus. We like a big old chocolate cake, about a 14-layer chocolate cake. That's what we want, Jesus. We want some turnip greens and some hog jowl. We want you to feed us. That's what we want, Jesus. That isn't what they said. You know what they said? Jesus said, what do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, where are you going? If you love Jesus, you want to go where Jesus is.
Amen.
You want to see where Jesus is. I stand amazed in the presence of my Jesus. That's just not a song that I sing, but it's true. I want to know where my Jesus goes. I want to feel his power in my life. I want to see his power in my life. I want to see his power in other people's lives. I want to see people change through Jesus.
Amen.
They said, where are you dwelling? You know what Jesus told them? Three words. He said, come and see. I want you to come and see where I live. And they went with Jesus that day. And they came and they saw, and they saw what Jesus did. And it says they came and saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day, about the 10th hour. They said, Jesus, we want to see where you dwell. Those first two, they were in church and they got saved. But I want you to know something. A lot of people don't get saved in church. The seed gets planted in church.
Amen.
But something else happens. One of those two men, there was two men there. We don't know what their names was, but we know what one of their name is. The Bible says that one of those disciples was named Andrew. Now I want y'all to just tell me real quick, how many books of the Bible did Andrew write?
None.
Any book of the Bible? How many churches did Andrew pastor?
None.
I can't think of none. In fact, what did Andrew do in all of church history? You know what Andrew did? He went and told his brother about Jesus. And that is very, very important. You know, when you tell your loved ones about Jesus, they may not come to Jesus right away. But Andrew went and told his brother Peter, Simon Peter, about Jesus. It tells us he first findeth his own brother Simon. Now, I want you to know it says he first did it. That ain't the only thing he done. He done some other things. Andrew told everybody he met, I believe, about Jesus because he was fascinated with Jesus.
Amen.
And if you're fascinated with Jesus, you'll tell people about Jesus. Well, he told his brother about Jesus. He did it first. And he said, listen, in verse 41, he said, Simon, he saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. This is the Christ, the one who is coming to save our souls. This is the Lamb of God. And we found him, Peter. And the Bible tells us this. It says that Peter went to Jesus, not because he wanted to go to Jesus, but look what it says in verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. Now I want y'all to know Peter was a lunkhead. He was. Peter was a lunkhead. He had to bring him to Jesus. And whenever Jesus saw Peter, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, we're going to name you Cephas, which being interpreted is a stone. And I've heard people say that that's a good compliment. I don't think it was. I think Jesus was saying, you're a rockhead. And Peter was just that way. But God had a plan for Peter's life. He had a plan for Peter's life. You know, sometimes we tell our loved ones about Jesus and then we wander away and we say, well, they just won't listen. You got to keep on telling them.
Amen.
You got to keep on telling them. Do you know Peter had to be called twice? Did y'all know that? He had to be called twice. When Peter met Jesus, Peter didn't say a single word to Jesus. If you look through that text, not one word did he say to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. I know who your parents are. But he said, you'll be called Cephas, which means a rock, a stone. You're a lunkhead, is pretty much what he said. But do you know, Peter didn't accept Christ that day. There's no indication that he ever came to Jesus that day. But listen, The Bible tells us that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, this is interesting. It says in Matthew 4, 18 through 20, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. He saw Simon Peter and guess who else? Andrew. Andrew was still with Simon Peter. He was still with his brother. And they were fishing. Now Andrew has already followed Jesus. He walked away from John the Baptist. He stepped out of the church service. He wasn't sleepwalking. He went to follow Jesus. Isn't that good? But Simon didn't do anything about following Jesus. But Jesus, walking along the shore that day, it says, Peter and Andrew's brother were casting the net to the sea. They were fishermen, and Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says, straightway, immediately, Peter and Andrew left their nets, they left their boats, and they walked away from everything, and they followed Jesus. Simon would one day be the head apostle. Let me tell you something. God had a plan for Simon.
Amen.
God has a plan for everybody. He has a plan for everybody. And God's got a place where he wants to put everybody because God loves everybody. Don't give up on people who don't hear the gospel. Keep on telling them. Keep on sharing the gospel. You know, I've heard people say, well, my son don't want to come to church anymore because he's uncomfortable. Let him be uncomfortable.
Amen.
Bring him to church. While he's under your tutelage, make him sit under the preaching of the word. Tell him about Jesus. I had a lady one time, she told me, she said, my son is so unruly. She said, I don't know what to do with him. I said, tell him about Jesus. She said, he won't listen. I said, get Bible verses, put them on pieces of paper, and stick it all over the house. And you know what? She done that. She wallpapered the house with Bible verses. One day that boy got saved, and I baptized him. Let me tell you something. God can do things that nobody else can do. But God has to open the heart. You can't give up on the hard-headed ones. You got to keep loving them. You got to keep telling them about Jesus. That was the first three. The fourth one, though, was easily saved. I want you to notice, it tells us in John 1, verses 43 and 44, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip lived in the same city where Andrew and Peter did. But there's no indication in Scripture that they even knew one another. Jesus came to Philip. Oh, I've had people ask me before. They say, Brother David, what about the people who never hear about Jesus? I tell you this, Jesus can go to them.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't excuse our laziness in telling people about Jesus. There's a branch of Christianity called Calvinism. Calvinists believe that God will save whom he's going to save. So they're kind of like, well, we just want witness. Right now, all the Calvinist churches are emptying out. You know why? You don't tell nobody about Jesus, they don't hear about Jesus.
That's right.
People got to hear about Jesus. You got to tell them about Jesus. People say, well, I try to do good, but I didn't share Jesus with them. You got to tell them about Jesus anyway. You got to let them know. You got to tell them. But listen, if there's somebody out there that seeks him, the Bible says this. God said, if you'll seek me, you will find me. God is always looking for a searching soul. And for those who have never heard, Jesus can reach out and touch them. I've read stories in the IMB about missionaries who went into areas where they had never heard about Jesus. And they walked into an area where these people had never heard about Jesus, never heard about a Bible, nothing. And they walked into that area, and the tribal chief would come up to them, and as they started talking about Jesus, he said, we had a dream the other night that y'all were going to come to our village and tell us something we needed to know. And we were told to pay attention to you. And they walked in there, and they started telling them about Jesus.
Amen.
And those places were saved. I want y'all to know something. Our God is able.
Amen.
Our God is able to do whatever God wants to do. And Jesus found Philip and he told Philip, he said, you need to come follow me. Oh, I bet that was a good day for Philip, wasn't it? I'm so glad today Jesus found me. Aren't you?
Amen.
I'm so glad today he touched me on the shoulder and said, follow me. Aren't you? Oh my goodness, what a great day that was. Philip, he heard that. God called us to tell others, but Philip heard that. You know, right after Philip got saved, there was one more. There's a fifth one. And this fellow is by the name of Nathanael. Nathanael, his name means given of God or the gift of God. Nathanael was a man who was seeking God. He wanted to know God. And he had a prayer life. He was someone who was a praying man. Nathanael loved to pray. And the Bible tells us in John 1:45, Philip found Nathanael. He found Nathanael and he said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now Nathanael, whenever he heard those words, he said this. He said in verse 46, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "I didn't think the Messiah would come out of Nazareth." Nazareth is a little town. It's a little small place. Oh, people discount the little stuff. The Bible says, don't despise the day of little things. God can use a little church. God can use a little city. He can use a little fat preacher. He can use little whatever. Amen. God is able. He's able. I'm going to say that again. God's able. Amen. If y'all don't amen, I'm going to run you over time. God's able.
Amen.
Well, I got a louder amen that time. God is able if we just trust Him and do what God says. You know what? People tell me, they say, "Preacher, I don't know how to tell somebody about Jesus." They've got all these excuses and evolution, and they throw these things up, and I don't know how to tell them. Nathanael looked at Philip that day, and he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Do you remember the words that Jesus said to the first two that he saved? Three words: come and see. Do you know what Philip did? He did the exact same thing Jesus did. He didn't try to argue with them. He didn't try. You know, the worst thing you can do is argue with a lost person.
Amen.
Because they don't know. You can argue all day long with a lost person. But you know, the best argument you've got for a lost person is come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and feel His presence. Let Jesus look on you. Let Him touch you. Let Him come into your life. Try Him for just a day. Just spend a day with Him. The first two spent a day with Him, and after that, they was ready. They were on fire. He said, just come and see. He didn't try to argue for or against Jesus. He just said, come and see. I love that. I remember there was another guy that was blind his whole life. And right after Jesus healed him, the Pharisees come to him and they said, "How did you get healed? We know it won't Jesus because Jesus is a rascal." Said, "Jesus is a sinner. We don't believe Jesus healed nobody." And you know what that man said? He said, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I can see."
Amen.
That's the best argument in the world. You can't argue against that. I know I was falling down, but God has changed me. He said, "Come and see." Whenever Nathanael went to see Jesus, I want you to notice what he said, verse 47. Whenever Jesus saw Nathanael coming up, Jesus said, "Listen, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Jesus said, "You're a righteous man. You're a man seeking God. You're not here looking for something." He said, "You're looking for something else." He said, "You've been seeking God." And then Nathanael said to him, he said, "How do you know me?" And what Jesus said was this. He said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael had a favorite place he loved to pray. It was a quiet place. It was a prayer closet. He went under the fig tree. God sees you when you're praying.
Amen.
Nathanael wasn't impressed because Jesus walked by a fig tree and saw him under the fig tree. He was impressed because he saw Nathanael praying.
Amen.
In his prayer closet. And he said, "I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you seeking me. I saw you reach out to me." And Nathanael right then, he said this. He said, "Behold, you are the Son of God, and you're the King of Israel." Oh, what an awesome God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus saw him under the fig tree. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus told him after that. He said, Because I say unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. He said, do you believe because of that? He said, you're going to see greater things than these. He said, verily, verily. Those verily, verilys in your King James is actually amen, amen. It's a double amen. Y'all know what amen means? It means it's true. Every time y'all say amen, that means it's true. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Amen.
Jesus is God's doorway into heaven. He said, that's what you're going to see. So, beloved, we come together and pray on Wednesday nights. We're praying that God is going to do a wonderful work.
Amen.
We're praying that God's going to keep planting seed and that God is going to keep on. And we don't ever give up. We just keep on telling them about Jesus. Isn't God good?
All the time.
God's good.
What an awesome, awesome Savior we have. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. Jerry's down there with the youngins. I don't know if he's got any hair left or not, but he's down there with the youngins. But I'm glad he's down there planting seed. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. I know it's hard for my brother Frank to come in because he's got to get up at 4 in the morning. I feel your pain, but I won't get up at 4 with you. But I would like you to close us in prayer if you would.